Ready.
You ready?
Did you know that they did a test in the 50s where they took a group of babies and fed them? They had caregivers go in the room and feed them. And one sample group, they fed them and gave them affection and love and like treated them like a mom would treat a child. And then they took the other sample group and just fed it and just wouldn't interact with it like that. And those babies died. So it wasn't, they were being fed, they were getting everything they need nutritiously, but they still died. So the conclusion was that human touch is what keeps the baby alive. Human love and affection. Because without it, they just shut down. Like they would say the babies just, after a few, like 7 days or something, the babies would stop even acknowledging them coming in the room. Isn't that insane?
That's nuts. How did they do that experiment? Legally,
in the 50s, they took orphan kids and did it, which is sick. Like, it's not like probably a proud spot in science, but isn't that insane?
That's ridiculously interesting.
Yeah, so like, it's not even the food that keeps us alive.
It was the human touch and
love and nurturing. Not even a mother's necessarily, you know, just a caregiver.
It's weird that like today now we couldn't recreate that experiment.
No,
to see if anything changed or like. No, what's weird is like the Nazis and all their experiments.
I haven't looked into those.
They did. Oh, the Nazis did so many experiments. There was actually in this book that I have somewhere, the Hela, H-E-L-A. Yeah. It was Henrietta Lacks. She was the one. It was either 41 or 51. I think it was 1941. So I started reading them only so far in, but it would be 50 million metric tons is how many cells of hers would weigh in the world today. You can take your trillion cells in your body and they fit on a period of a sentence.
I'm not kidding.
So that's
all the cells in all my body?
Yeah, fit on a period.
How? If you stack them?
I don't know because they're so little.
That's crazy.
So 50 million metric tons of her cells are in orbit.
She's around. Everywhere.
She's been to space?
Yeah.
Without ever even knowing it, too. She died of cervical cancer. And from what the book says, and the author writes that he tried to do it, is he doesn't want anything to be misleading or misrepresented. But the husband said that, no, it was a black woman. And the husband said, no, like, you can't use her for research. They did anyways. So 1940s, they take the research anyways, and they found immune cells, HeLa cells is what they named them later, and the family's got zero money. So now they do this behind their back, and she's the reason for polio cure, research in Alzheimer's, herpes, any cancer. She was like basically the reason for chemo. And the list like goes on and how much her cells have actually like done. And this is one person.
Yeah.
But the question is, how come she had those cells and nobody else did?
A gift to the world, maybe. Maybe that's her gift to the world, you know?
And she'll never even know it.
Yeah. Maybe she didn't want money for it, you know? Like, I mean, that's treacherous how they took it too.
Five kids who all of a sudden can't afford to go to the doctor, yet their mom's in charge of hundreds of thousands of lives that got
saved. Sickening. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is I'm only on the first chapter. And
people are making money off it, too.
Oh, so much money. She's in every lab.
Like, percentage of everything.
She was, her cells were the start to cloning. And,
super race?
Yeah. Like, so it's like, it's crazy. Like, yeah, she basically was the start to so many medical advancements. And no credit goes to her family.
Yeah. Do we want to be immune to everything, you know? Like,
no.
I don't think that's I don't know.
The question is,
still face death. So,
well, that's where health becomes a business.
Yeah.
How much would you pay to continue to live?
Yeah.
You know, there was, you hear, I heard about people, these that passed away when I was a teenager. So this would have been 20 years ago and they were in their 60s, 70s, but they would get sick and not even go to the doctor. And I used to think, whoa, that's crazy. But it's like, at what point do you accept that you're not going to outrun it?
Yeah.
And we're the only creature that, well, I mean, I guess animals now, we save animals from cancer. And we pay hundreds of thousands of dollars on veterinary bills to selfishly keep an animal alive for yourself. If we weren't involved in that, nature would take its course and that animal would pass away.
Yeah.
But we also consciously, selfishly, in my opinion, continue our own lives.
Yeah.
And then where's the break from cure and preventative? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You just brought up a great question. Like, did animals, do they get cancer naturally living in the wild? Because I feel like cancer is from, like, inflammation. It's a buildup block, in my opinion. Like, it's blocked energy. But inflammation in cells, and they just start, you know, bundling up in the overabundance in one place. And, like, I've just kind of always tied that. And I feel like you have cats here, dude. And I'm like, I'm living with this dog. And I'm like, dude, like, I feel like they help us, like, with our energy. Like, that's, you know, they're like, not, I don't want to use the word filter, but, like, it's like, they're, like, giving us unconditional love, which is beautiful. And I honestly, like, I feel like filter is recycled. Like, they help us, you know, you get home from a long day of work and he, like, will just start, when I'm, like, in a tense moment, he'll just start, like, running laps. And I'm like, dude, what is he doing, you know? And
it's yeah.
like, I feel like he's jogging for me or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I got this, you know?
He's like, yeah, you run for me later when I'm sleeping.
But isn't that funny to think about our pets who have cancer, right? The pets get cancer.
Yeah.
But could that be possibly they're not taking, but the human's energy that gets passed to them? Not saying that you gave them cancer, but possibly like a connection there, you know? I don't know if animals have cancer in the wild, you know? I haven't looked into that. That'd be a good question. That'd be good, something to look into.
That is interesting. I watched a documentary on orca whales. Didn't bring up cancer, but it brought up the curved dorsal fin.
Only in captivity. Yeah. And it's like depression.
Yeah. It's literally like depression. And then they wonder why the whales kill people. And it's like, we just took this.
You went 4 years without killing you. Like,
yeah.
That was good.
He did a bunch of flips. He ate your shitty fish.
Yeah, in a small tub.
And he gave you a bunch of rides and launched you in the air as you blew a whistle in his face.
Yeah.
Like, prisoners had better rights than that whale.
No kidding. Yeah. I love orca whales, dude. They're so smart.
So they're not whales. They're dolphins.
They're big dolphins.
Yeah. So they're not called orca whales, actually. They're orcas. They're called killer whales because they kill whales. They drown blue whales and eat them.
Yeah.
So they're actually the largest dolphin in the world.
No kidding. I didn't know that. Yeah. I feel like dolphins and whales, all whales, but dolphins, orcas especially, have like this conscious level that is like connected to us. Like they're like intelligent. I just watched this video yesterday actually. It was like a white whale. It looked like they were speaking Dutch or something, but this guy was kayaking. And the whale came up and he dropped his GoPro to the bottom of the floor, the sea floor. So you're watching the GoPro, you're from the GoPro angle, and it's just floating down and it just drops. And this whale comes, picks it up, brings it back up to him, and then just sits there and smiles at him. He's like, he was speaking in Dutch, but it was like, it sounded like, holy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that's intelligent. That's like kind, compassion, too. They don't know what it is, but they're like, here you go.
Yeah.
You dropped this.
Hey, sir. This looks important, dude.
Yeah, this looks expensive.
Yeah.
Dude, I find it fascinating. I like killer whales a lot.
Well, yeah, like, and orcas don't leave their families.
Yeah, they stay in the pond.
Birth to death, yeah. So, like, we went in and separate them from their family.
Oh, that's brutal. Did you watch that?
Blackfish.
Oh, man, it broke my heart.
Yep. Yeah. That was devastating.
Yeah, dude.
And they, like, sit there and cry just, like, all night.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? Have you ever seen Coco, the gorilla?
I know that
he
name.
He knows sign language.
Yeah, yeah.
What? In my love for animals and my love for the curiosity, we taught a gorilla sign language.
Yeah.
What? That is proof that an animal can communicate with us and understand us. And we don't go further into that?
Yeah.
We don't try it again? Coco, I mean, he had a cat, and like he would pet his cat, and he would do this, and the cat got hit by a car, and they tell him, and he cried, and he goes, Coco's sad, and he was like, want to be left alone, and then he cries, and he's sitting there crying. I'm like, this animal just showed compassion for another animal in the way we do with cats, and can communicate with us, And this isn't where we're throwing millions of dollars to research communication with an animal.
Yeah.
Not only an animal, but like a gorilla, like something that's super intelligent, super strong, and close to us.
Yeah. And also get them out of the zoo. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Zoos, I enjoy going there to see the animals, but like at the same time, I'm like, dude, that's like we're keeping them in prison and they're intelligent. And it's like you can see in there a lot of them, dude. They're just like, F this, man. Like, this is not cool.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer, you know? Like, I don't know, like, what you do as a society except for just stop going, you know, and be like,
yeah,
put it out of business. But, dude, I just watched that and I went down the rabbit hole yesterday. I just watched so many animal videos yesterday. So, this is funny you're bringing it up. The gorilla. And then I watched this, not an orangutan, but it was like with the black ones.
Chimpanzee.
It looked a chimp, yeah, totally. And it was like bald. It was like an older one, and it was like pointing at this lady's grocery bag, and she's like, okay, and she's like starting to pull stuff out, and he's like, no. And he was like shaking his head, and she's like, okay, next thing, and it was a Mountain Dew. And he points over here, and he walks her over to the other side of the glass enclosure where there's a little broken part that she can pour it through. Obviously, he's probably done it before, yeah. But the other one's just watched and waited around, and he put his hand down, and he was the one drinking it. You know, he's like the older one.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, it breaks my heart that they're in there, you know, for sure, yeah. Dude. But it's like, they're obviously intelligent enough, you know, they're conscious. They're there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Well, it's like even teaching dogs commands is a thing.
I think all animals hold that intelligence too. We just perceive it as being like, oh, that's less like the way we are with the cattle, you know, and like chickens and stuff like that. You know, now their life purpose in a lot of instances is to be raised and then killed, you know, and that's the whole thing with them. But who's to say they're not like, but they are, you know, just as conscious. I have a thing for cows, dude, and like cattle because I'm like, they're so mistreated. In India, I think they're like really
respected,
revered. You know, they're just allowed to be free, and they don't eat them.
You cannot hurt them.
Yeah, and it's they're intelligent. You know, I think all of them. We're all equal, but it's like we've gauged our intelligence. Like how intelligent are you? And then like that kind of like leaves room for us as humans to like mistreat and allow like types of things like the farming industry. I think it's farming industry is what they call it. Cause it's sad to think about, dude, like, you know, I'll never be like, you know, combative or like try to argue a point with somebody eating meat, which I eat meat. Like I just don't for like a month. And then I go get a burger at Wendy's. I've been on a Wendy's kick it's like a cheat day. Cause it's like, there's days I just wake up and I'm like, I'm going to have a burger today, you know? And I say, thank you every time now. That's one thing I'm aware of. I'm like, thank you, you know, for giving me
for
this.
For dying.
Yeah. Thank you. And, I don't know, man. It's fascinating. Cause how do you get from where we are today to like a more conscientious, like consumption of meat or it's like, there's so many of being fed.
Yeah. I feel like that's one of those things where like, it's an uphill battle, but I feel like the impact is getting there.
Yeah.
But we overconsume more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, like what, if I work out and run, I need 1200 calories a day. That's one meal for me. I'll consume 1200 calories.
Well, you just need human love.
That's true too. But it's like Chipotle.
Yeah.
That's three meals. That's my entire day's worth of, and I'll eat one of those and then be like, an hour later, be like, oh, chips and cheese.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
But going back to the animals, insects are crazy. Every type of animal, these blade cutter ants, or I think they're called blade cutter, grass cutter. They've created basically a recyclable ecosystem and like an ultimate defense. I think I've talked about this before with you maybe, where they cut grass, they take it back into their home, they let the grass mold. The mold is so poisonous that it like shoots out of there, so nothing, no other animal can come near them without dying, but they can eat it. And by the time they go full circle, the grass, once they get back to the start, has fully regrown again. So they are in a constant cycle of just.
Yeah. Do you think they know it's being a defense? Or it's just like, this worked out, you know, and we just do it now.
Well, there was these caterpillars, and I need to find this because I got to send you this clip. They these ants would eat these caterpillars, but these caterpillars would fall from these branches where it's like, uh-oh, all the ants are there. The ants would take them down into their lair, if you will. And these caterpillars, this larvae from the caterpillars, would put off an aroma where the ants thought it was the queen. So the ants would start feeding this for like a year.
No kidding.
For like a year, feeding this larvae. The larvae would cocoon. Sometimes they would say that the ants would actually let their queen starve, thinking that this was their
this
queen.
One smells better.
And then all of a sudden, a butterfly would come out of an ant hole. So all these larvae are setting an aroma to confuse the ants to make them
feed
them for a year, and then they become a butterfly, crawl out the hole, and fly away.
Yeah.
What part of evolution taught them that?
Yeah.
And how do they know? Like, that's
how does it get to that point?
That's
how intelligence. How
many years of evolution does it take for that? Or did that, was that just there from the start?
Yeah.
But who designed that then? Who would design? Do you ever play Magic?
The cards?
Yeah.
I collected them. I never played it.
Did you ever play Pokemon or like an
RPG? I never played it.
Did you ever play an RPG game where it's like, did you ever play Diablo?
Yeah, yeah.
So Diablo, the first thing you get to do on your screen is pick warrior, strength, mage, magic, healer, archer. You know, you pick your character, and then you decide to where to put your attribute points.
Yeah.
If you take the world and you took every creature and wrote down its attributes, we all have a strength and we all have a weakness. Cheetahs are fast. Lions are big and strong. Lions are in prides. Tigers are bigger and stronger than lions, but they're solo. You know what I mean? Like giraffes can be hunted by lions, but they're huge and they can kick the lion, break their neck. Crocodiles and alligators, lions will pull them out of the water and eat them, but crossing a river where they're swimming, the crocodile wins. It's all of these attributes are distributed where if you take that larvae, they're, let's say like, they're like disguise. Like if you were playing a video game, they would be the masters of deception.
Mm-hmm.
Their deception would be at 100%. But their strength would be at zero. Where if those ants got past the deception, would eat the larvae and they would cease to exist. But their strength is so strong that they're confusing these ants who are strong and having them feed them and then escaping. The ants aren't getting harmed. They're still finding food. But that animal used its 100% strength to survive. And that's what I find interesting. You take everyone's look at sports. You know,
yeah.
I would never be a defensive lineman in football.
Yeah.
But it's like, but if I would have continued to practice soccer, I could have been really, really good because I was fast, small, and could kick.
Yeah.
So it's like everyone has attributes and we don't get to choose them like we do in the video games. So we have to realize what our strengths and weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why they say play to your strengths.
Yeah. And know yourself. Know them. You know, be aware of them. Don't just like be nonchalant. Like look.
Yeah.
Like I think that's important because the awareness into yourself, like especially with your skill sets or your talents or well, actually what you're passionate about, you know, that those tools, like when you like identify and like for me, like writing, putting on paper and then seeing it does a difference for me than me just thinking, oh, I like that hobby, you know, to put it and be like, what are my skills? What are my attributes that like, yeah, what are my strengths and weaknesses, you know, and to know your weaknesses, that's where like the real growth, you know, because then you can like implement contrary actions to them or like, how do I make that a strength?
Yeah.
I think a lot of weaknesses can be turned around as something that makes you stronger and adds to your other strengths, you know?
Well, I feel like you're a lot like me where you have an addictive personality.
Oh, yeah.
So
when I love something, I go all in.
Yeah. So now go get addicted to something positive.
Which is like
into your strength.
When the 12 steps, all that, that's what it like has done. That's what it does, you know? It's like it replaces your focus and your all that energy that you're putting into something that's killing you and puts it into you being, well, A, first you get sober and do internal work, and then you be of service to other humans who have struggled the same thing.
Yeah.
Which that's my drive in a lot, everything, you know, like, I think that's a beautiful thing to be able to put all your pains and stumbles and all the times you fell down, and it doesn't make it in vain. Cause then you're like, oh, I'm helping this person who's experiencing the same thing.
And that gives you a purpose.
Yeah.
And it feels good. It
feels so good. Like you're driven to help homeless, right? People who are homeless.
Interesting enough, I liked one experience, didn't like the others. And it was really hard for me. I sat down and thought about it. The food shelf that I went to, I looked around the room after and I felt zero fulfillment. I was like, it was weird because I tried to convince myself if I change one person's day, then it was worth it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to me.
Yeah.
I looked around and I go, these people in this specific one during this time don't give a shit about anything.
Yeah.
They, some said thank you.
People getting food?
The homeless people getting food.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not helping them with anything.
Yeah.
It was like punishing somebody with a DUI by taking their license away. Yeah, they know what they did. They got their license taken away. Most of the time they're going to repeat. It's not going to stop them from drinking. They would have to do that on their own.
Yeah.
But you're feeding somebody who needs to do something on their own. And by you setting up 3 feeding times during the day, you're enabling this person, like a drug addiction. Let's say the food's the drug. You're enabling this person to not have
to not fight.
Yeah.
And get their life back or whatever their case may be. Yeah, I get it.
And I hated it. Because I really wanted to help, but I felt helpless in helping. Because I felt mad. Yeah. And I let the anger go away. But I just remember, like, for an hour I sat there, like, thinking. And I was, like, driving home. And I'm like, not one of those people had something change in their day other than they got a free meal. And they were picky.
Yeah. Like, to them, like, it's a restaurant, you know?
It was.
Yeah.
And that drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Where I'm sitting there going, if I'm starving, if I'm really starving, I'm saying, give me everything you got. This will be energy. This will go to something else. But I really hated that I was mad, if that makes sense.
Oh, you're expecting to feel that fulfillment, you know? Have you ever done it just on the street with some random guy? I've been like, hey, I'm going to buy you a burger.
I did in Denver, actually, when I was completely freaking blackout hammered.
Yeah.
And I came to while I was hanging out with a bunch of homeless people. They were grateful. They were awesome. They were laughing. I bought them all hot dogs from a hot dog stand.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool. I was like, let's all get hot dogs. They're like, you'll buy us hot dogs?
Yeah.
And they're like, I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, sweet. Come on. And then they offered me some booze. I drank with them. Yeah. I was like, cool. I was like, well, and I got their stories. And their stories were pretty much like no family, couldn't get a job from what they said. And it was like one of those things where, but they were grateful and their energy was positive.
Yeah.
So that was a good experience,
yeah.
And I liked it, and I felt fulfilled there. When I did Feed My Starving Children, you don't see the children, but that even felt fulfilling, like fulfilling.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, wow, like I'm knowing that this food's going somewhere to help a child who is going to eat the shit out of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But the one that I did with the gospel mission, and I'm not going to stop because of it. But I packaged up like 200 sandwiches, and then I did the food line, and just watching them go through that line, there wasn't one person in there that I think couldn't have been helping themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they were taking the easy way out.
And ungrateful.
And they were ungrateful.
At that moment. Yeah. No, I get it. I only do it when it's like random. Like that's kind of
– yeah.
I've volunteered before, and I enjoyed it, but I wasn't like front lines like that where you're actually – giving them the meals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to do it by myself and just like if we bag up sandwiches, I think that's a good idea. I think that will be fulfilling because they'll be like, wow, you made this and you're just out here doing that. Because dude, I've given, I enjoy it that way. I enjoy like random.
I would agree.
Crossing the paths and being like, oh, but on the corner, like in busy roads, I will if I feel it, but like a lot of times I'm like, no, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Well, it's I use this a lot. I used it yesterday actually when it came to different topic, but we were talking about equal rights of pay for men and women.
Yeah.
But I love the saying that one kid ruins it for the whole class.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that one homeless guy who lies to you. Our brains work in patterns and memorization. The majority of people now are going to go, oh, they're just all, yep. All. It's like that one, how do you try and help the homeless if you believe 9 out of 10 are bullshit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got a friend that asks you for money and he's got a $1 million house. Like, you're going to be like, why does he need money? And you're going to question it.
Yeah.
You got a friend who just lost his job 2 months ago and is getting kicked out and asks you for money. You're not going to question it. You're going to give him money.
Yeah.
Those are friends. And you're still questioning the one that has the giant house. Why does he need money? You might still give it to him. You might not, depending on the friend you are and the trust. But now you take a stranger and you get duped. When I was living in Uptown, this guy came to me every other day. Hey, I just need $2 to get on the bus to go to Wisconsin. Like, blah, blah, my family's down the road, blah, blah, blah. Every other day for a year. I was like, I gave him $2 the first time because I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Then I realized this guy's never going to Wisconsin. He doesn't have a family down the road. So now I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
Now the next guy I see, let's say his car did break down and he goes, can I get $2, man? My car broke down. Nope. F off. Like, nope. My brain is memorizing the pattern. I've been duped. I feel stupid now. I'm almost resentful.
Yeah.
But now that one guy has ruined it for the whole class for me.
Yeah.
Because I would have, if he got on a bus, if I handed him $2, he got on a bus. He goes, thank you. Send you a postcard from Wisconsin. Next guy to ask for money. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you fix your stuff too. Like I got some change. Yeah. Going to the Dells.
Successful.
Success. Yeah. You know? But that's just one of those things where every plate of food that I gave, I felt like 99.9% of them, I actually honestly feel like 100% of them did nothing.
Yeah.
In that scenario.
Yeah.
And maybe that was just a weird time for me, but 100% of what I did went, it didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They didn't eat that meal and go, I'm going to go to a job interview today. Yeah. They ate it and then they sat there until we had to tell them they have to leave. And then they complained about having to leave for the next group to come in.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going like,
I'm going to go to a job interview.
Yeah.
Those are high expectations.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm going to buy a briefcase now.
What was in those mashed potatoes?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going
to
get a job.
Go back to school.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Can I get dessert? I'm going for a promotion.
It's funny, man. I mean, I think it's cool that you have that drive though to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're just doing it for no reason. You're just
I
like that. And you talk about how you can you throw out hypothetical situations or ideas that could like help end homeless and the people being homeless in America, you know. I think the fact that you think like that is like something you should just stick with and figure out how to feel fulfillment while you're doing it in whatever way. That way was not it.
Well, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And if people want to really do that, we should fix our weakest link.
Yeah.
And that's like, oh, it's probably going to start over.
I think the weakest link is the education system. You know?
So weakest link. I don't know why mine's been homeless, but I feel like poverty is a chain reaction of a lot of things that we, as the working and middle class, complain about. The rich don't care. Let's say that. I'm going to generalize. Obviously, that's not true.
Yeah.
But let's say the rich are good. They don't care. Now let's take the middle class, the working class, the lower class, the lower upper class, and poverty. Poverty is the weakest link. Even if the rich, the problem is, I'm kind of rambling here. You got the middle group. We can complain about the rich all we want, but quit. We need to get rid of that. Quit complaining.
Yeah.
It's great. Fix yourself, fix us, help us. So quit saying, Verizon did this.
Yeah.
Okay. As you pull out your Verizon phone or your Sprint phone or whatever phone you have, you're complaining about the company you're supporting. If you really want to complain, then you better not pull out a phone.
Yeah.
If you're mad at big business, if you're mad at China, you better not be driving a car.
Mm-hmm.
You better be biking or walking everywhere. You know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah.
If you're mad at anything, you're supporting it.
You're just talking about it.
You're not doing anything.
Wasting time.
So forget them. Let them do their thing. Let them be rich. Because they might not be happy.
Yeah.
Your envy is not going to bring you happiness. So what I propose is middle class, working class, lower upper, lower class. If we can help the poverty situation, that eliminates a lot of crime. Not saying that that's all in poverty, obviously. But if you help everyone out in those circumstances, the need to commit crimes goes away. The need for food goes away. The need to go to those big companies for the cheaper meal goes away. So now the support goes away. If you opened up a restaurant in a poverty-stricken neighborhood and you didn't have to worry about crime and you built it up, there's now profit going from poverty to new business owner. If you continue to build communities, the money stays in the communities. And as poverty grows into a more financial suitable area, if they get the help with the drugs they need, now you have state-funded rehab facilities that need to employ people. Now the jail money that you pay for your taxes to keep people incarcerated goes down. So you're not necessarily going to be losing money in the long run. You're shifting the money from paying for them to go to jail to paying to get them help. And now you don't have to pay the $250 because your window got smashed for them to go in and steal your laptop, where now you got to go back to Apple and support them again by buying a new laptop.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
it's a chain reaction.
And like, in I forget what country, but they decriminalized all drugs, heroin and stuff. And then they also offered spots for people like shoot heroin, use clean needles, all this. And the crime rate just like disappeared.
Yeah,
I forget what country, but yeah, it's a chain reaction of people suffering and doing what I try to always believe everyone's doing their best with what they got, you know, like even if it's like they're taken from somebody else, it's like who that's what their life led to at that moment. And they were obviously desperate, you know, and it's not condoning it. But yeah, it's everything's like a chain reaction. It's like you can't just keep treating the last chain. Not the weakest, but like that last action that is like, that's messed up, you know? It's like, well, why is it messed up? Like, go back to the origin of why that person stole. Or, yeah, exactly, you know?
I mean, you even see it. What's funny is you probably see it just as much in the rich class as you do in the poverty. Those two, the two far ends of the financial spectrum probably have the most problems.
Yeah.
There's probably just as much crime in both. It's just that the rich, you don't see it. You hear about the giant scandals.
Yeah.
But.
Which isn't that funny.
It's
like huge robbery.
Yeah.
You know? Like
you get 1 year.
The housing, 2008.
Yeah.
Like how it's like what you were talking about with the 2% down on buying a house, but with like not with crazy amount of interest. So you never pay it off. And it's getting the lower middle class probably. And it's like, that's robbery.
Yeah. So now you're working your entire day to pay a bank to rent.
Yeah.
But they say, oh, you own this house now. No, you don't. You owe $360,000 on it, and your interest rate is so high that you're paying a fraction of that a year.
Yeah.
We've been in here for 3 years. I'm telling you, my girlfriend's paid off maybe $6,000 of this home.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, like $6,000, but we're paying $15,000 a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Where's that?
Wait. So 3 years, so we've paid $45,000, and six of that has gone
that
to
is
the house.
Insane, dude.
$39,000 has gone to interest.
God, dude. That's
$39,000.
That's a robbery.
That
should not be right.
Two down payments on other houses.
It's a lot of stuff. A lot of traveling.
Oh, 40
cars.
Yeah. That's a year's salary.
Yeah.
That went to the bank.
Yeah.
But
for
nothing.
For signing, you know?
Yeah. So now you think about everyone that does that because it's the norm.
Yeah.
But we have to deconstruct that norm.
And
The thing that I like, there's this app, and I haven't used it, so don't quote me on it, but it's the, what's it called? Workday app?
Yeah.
So I researched it very minimal, so I'm not an expert at all. So you can request $100 before your paycheck comes. So what I found out is there's people that on there that give the money, and then you can tip them if you want. So let's say you get paid bi-weekly and your paycheck's going to be $1,200. I'm assuming on the app you put in your work and your bank account so that it goes through the app so you can't just like not pay. So like, oh man, it's, you know, 3 days before Friday, my car broke down. Could I get $400? They put $400 in. Once you get paid, that $400 goes to what I thought was the app, but it's actually a person who lent you the $400, and then you can tip them $10. Oh, so you can say, oh, here's $400, you know, here's your $400 back. Thanks. Here's $10.
Oh, wow.
So now this guy made $10 lending someone $400 3 days before their paycheck.
Is there a minimum tip?
No, you don't have to tip.
Huh.
So that's what it says, but so people are banking off of
tipping.
People being genuine and tipping. Assuming I should download the app and really find this out. But if you take that into consideration, that app, if trusted, and if one person didn't ruin it for the whole class, is society helping society?
It is.
It is a random
a stranger
lending you the money as if he was a friend or family member
and trusting,
trusting and helping you, and you being grateful and repaying or paying it forward. Sure. Even if you gave him $401, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I just made an extra dollar for no reason.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it's one of those things where now that's what the banks are doing without the trust. And they're doing it like a dickhead.
Yeah.
You need help. You have medical bills. You want a $20,000 loan. It's, 9.7% interest per payment.
Yeah.
Which people don't realize. So you pay 9% on 20,000 interest. Now you pay 9% on 19,800, 9%. I mean, you're paying, it essentially almost doubles what you lent. So how are you as society supposed to get ahead? I work my ass off. I work a lot. And I make good money. And I can't get rid of my loans.
Yeah.
So I had three credit cards and four loans due to the bad circumstances. I wouldn't have done all that. But I had to take it out to keep the business going. I had to start bartending again full time. So I've paid off every credit card. And I paid off one of the loans. So I got three loans left. But in the end of it, the amount that I'm going to be paying to the bank just for me to have survived and continued living, and not even luxurious. Like this is my girlfriend's. This was a blessing that like we live here and live better than most of the world. But on paper, I'm negative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I pay cash for all my cars. So it's like, I'm not, you saw my car, $1,200 gets me from A to B.
Yeah.
It's like, now you take my mindset and put it in a mindset of somebody who doesn't give a shit and is worried about that society norm. And they go buy a $60,000 car with $2,000 down. They buy a $150,000 house with, let's say, $20,000 down. Well, now they're $130,000 in their house and $58,000 in their car. It's $188,000 negative.
Yeah.
It's not negative to them because they don't think of it the way I think of it. But that's a negative because you owe all that.
Yeah.
You're using imaginary money. You owe $188,000. That's a negative in your bank account. You're negative $188,000. You have $500 in your checking. You'll get paid every other Friday and be able to make the payments, which pay the bank, but you're still 188 negative.
It stresses you out.
Well, yeah. But then it comes down to if you quit doing that as a whole, then the banks don't win.
So start renting?
I wouldn't even rent. I think, that's the problem, is how do we deconstruct that mindset? I would start with vehicles. Housing might be a different thing. Do not buy a vehicle that you cannot pay for.
Yeah, upfront.
Yes. If you started with just that, I mean, that's huge. All of a sudden, think about how much the banks are making, because the banks run that. The banks do the car loans. You're not paying the dealership. The dealership's just working with a bank to make sure you get your money.
Yeah.
You're still, that's interest to the bank. If you took away that, let's say a place sells, to make the math easy, 10 cars a day, one dealership, and nobody's paying for it straight up. They're all signing. That's 10 people paying a monthly payment to the bank because they couldn't go and buy something in within their means.
Yeah.
Because they wanted a big grill and they wanted surround sound and they wanted brand new tires and they wanted their status. They wanted to go fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if there was no such thing as a bank or a loan of imaginary money, and you went into it, if I went into a dealership and say, I got $1,000 for that $40,000 car, can I send you $1,000 a month for the next 39 months?
Yeah.
He would go, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
He would go, who are you?
Yeah.
Like, and that's where the trust comes in.
Yeah.
The banks bank on people not being trustworthy. So they come in and say, we'll trust you because if you fuck up, you'll never get a penny again, and we'll come after you for every penny you make.
Yeah.
And then we'll take whatever you did buy and you didn't pay us. It's a mob.
Yeah.
It's the mafia.
It is.
Yeah. It's the mafia. They say, hey, you owe us money. Why? Because we lent you money.
Yeah.
It's literally what it is. It's a legal mob.
Imagine if that app starts doing things where like rich people or wealthy people, or they can do it with like lower interest. They can like set up a mortgage or like a car payment plan that is more friendly to your neighbor, you know, than the bank is.
So I think that's slowly happening.
That'd be so cool.
And I mean, like, that's what credit unions are. They basically say, we're going to trust you even more, but you have to have a credit score.
Yeah.
So like you can go to a bank, get a loan with a 600 credit score. A credit union is going to give you half the interest rate, but you can't get it unless you have a 750. So they're basically saying your credit's good. You've proven you're trustworthy. Come to us. We'll lower your interest rate. That's what a credit union is.
Yeah.
So they're basically saying you've proven.
Yeah.
So it's like if you miss a couple payments, the credit union will be like, no. They're like, we'll cut your interest in half, but you gotta have 100% proof that you're gonna pay on time.
Yeah.
So they're taking away from the bank a little bit. But essentially what I'm getting at is that trust thing is, if we had trust as a society, and if we got rid of living out of our means and got back into living with what we could afford, things actually might deconstruct and become simpler. How many people do you think are stressed because of financial debt?
It's a leading stress, I think. Not just debt, but finances, money, fake. It's numbers now. It's just a number on your cell phone, a number in your account. It's like, it's gold. It's supposed to be gold, and now it's paper. And where is it? I don't know what it's coming from or representing anymore, other than the focus of our lives a lot of time, which is painful. I think it's the leading cause of a lot of things, you know?
Stress is probably one of the leading causes of cancer.
Yeah.
And somebody, I mean, that just goes to my point. Let's say you buy, let's go back to the cars. Let's stick with the cars. You buy a $40,000 car. Do you owe payments on your car, actually?
Yeah, it's a lease.
See? There. So let's say you bought it and you owe $15,000. And you're working full-time and your business shuts down. There's nowhere really hiring. You can get a job at McDonald's, or you can get a job. There's places hiring.
Yeah.
But the payment's so little. I mean, minimum wage. I saw a grocery store hiring the other day for $11.50 an hour.
Is that minimum here?
No, it's like 10 something. So they're giving you a little bit more, but
okay.
So you're getting $11.50 an hour. You're working 40 hours a week. After taxes, you're making what, close, maybe $1,500 a month? maybe, and your car payments 400 and your house payments 600. You're already done. You're already negative each month. You can't even afford to do that because you bought a car out of your means. So now you missed three payments. They come and repo your car. But guess what? You still owe, because they say, hey, you still own that car, even though we took it back.
Yeah.
So now
you're untrustworthy.
But if you would have gone out and bought my car for $1,200, that would have been 1 month's worth of work. And now it would have been an extra $360 a month in your pocket. Now you have that $360, $600 car payment. Now you're saving $260 a month. That's still, you haven't eaten, but you got $260 a month. You could eat off that ramen and tuna and eggs. So that's just one prime example of one thing and how much in the end that saves.
Yeah.
One vehicle where you would have bought, and now you would have owned that. You're in a tough rut. You can sell it.
Yeah.
You can fucking bike.
Yeah.
But you don't need it. You don't need the car. Maybe I have to drive a truck for my job. It calls for it. Why'd you buy a $60,000 Chevy? Did really the $2,000 Toyota on Craigslist didn't have a truck bed that fit the same things that your nice looking truck did? Oh, that's bullshit. You're a liar.
Gotta look good.
Yeah. I gotta represent myself. Fuck off. So that's just – and we can do it with a different example than vehicles, but that one example is so huge where if everyone just bought in, that's extra money. Now, that extra money, let's say you are successful and you don't even need that $260. You still bought within your means and you got an extra $300 a month, but you're living comfortable. You're going to spend that. So now it's in circulation. So now you're putting back. You're comfortable. But now you're going to spend the three. Hoarding money is hoarding. Being financially secure is bullshit. I do it. I don't say don't do it. But how much money is financially secure? The majority of people in America can't afford a emergency $500 anything.
Yeah.
So who the fuck is financially secure? What do you mean? So you got one guy sitting there with $1 billion in his bank? Yeah, you're financially secure. Why are you holding that $1 billion? For what? Well, my family. You got two kids. They get to have
his kids and every other kid after.
Yeah, it's my legacy.
Yeah.
Your legacy of what? Hitler had a legacy. Great. It's like your legacy is that you held on to something, and I'm not disregarding your success and disregarding that you should be able to have a luxurious life if you created something that people want.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with it, but it's your right, and I'm not going to take away somebody's right in capitalism. I think that's fine. I think that capitalism is not a bad thing, but I think our social conscious and our awareness as people needs to find other conscious, aware people and help those people and just take away from the people that are on the top of that pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like a community within a community, you know?
Spend the extra $5 to shop at your local shop. You know what I mean? Like, you have the power to take away the money from the rich. You cannot blame anyone for creating creating an empire.
Yeah.
Because they didn't pay themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you can get mad for the bit.
Where's all the buyers?
Yeah. Well, people got mad at Chick-fil-A because the owner came out and said that he thinks that love should be between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Okay, then don't shop at Chick-fil-A or don't eat at Chick-fil-A. But that's his right.
Yeah.
It's your right to say that you disagree. And I'm not saying I agree with him. I think people should be able to marry whoever they want. But I also think that he has the right to believe whatever he wants.
And feel how he wants.
And if he wants to be closed on Sundays and create an amazing business with an awesome sandwich, Chick-fil-A.
Hire me.
Hire me.
Sponsor.
But if you don't want to support him, then don't support him.
Yeah.
But don't make it a big thing when tell people that they can't support him.
Yeah.
Because for all I know is he has one belief in marriage, but he wasn't going out there going, we should kill him. Kill the fags.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just said, my beliefs are a man and a woman are to be married. Okay. I disagree with you, but I still support your business and your amazing sandwich.
Yeah.
And I get why people wouldn't, and good for them, because if they are that hurt by that statement, they have every right to not shop there. But they don't need to have a right to force me to do what I want.
Oh, yeah.
Go out and start Burger Filet and only hire gays and lesbians.
And only let them
and be
in.
Open 24/7 on Sundays.
And Ryan will be there.
Yeah.
No.
I'll be there with both sandwiches in each hand and go, these are both equally delicious, and I agree with both of you. Yeah. You both have the right to believe whatever you want. Yeah. I'll support you both because you put work in and created an awesome sandwich. Yeah.
We like food. Yeah, and it's like with me, with not eating meat, it's like I don't ever want to debate with somebody who's eating meat. You know, I don't ever look at somebody and be like, you're doing something wrong. It's like that's a personal thing for me. And I never, my dad was like joking, he'd be like, oh, he's vegan now. And he'd like joke about it at Christmas. I'm like, I've never said I'm vegan. Like I still eat egg. I eat eggs. I eat cheese. I'm not like that. You know, I'm just like, I just don't want to contribute as much as I was at least to eating meat, you know? And it's like, so I was making a stand and like, I'm not going to eat meat. Either while I'm home. And it's like, that should be okay, you know? And I don't ever look at somebody different for me. Like, I don't think it's an easy thing.
That's a perfect example. You did what you believed was your part.
Yeah.
Without bringing other people into it. If enough people did that with every scenario that they believe in, just follow your path. And I was vegetarian for a month because I mine was like kind of that political. But like you said, you go ahead, eat whatever you want. I just know in my heart, I'm doing my part, and that's not going to
proceed. That's all we can do.
And if 1,000 people did that, now all of a sudden, you'll see a difference.
Yeah.
But you can't go out and tell people to do that.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. People go out and say, quit it. You have to quit eating meat. That's murder. Blah, blah. No. Hey, just convince people why we should quit eating meat. Don't tell people they have to quit eating meat.
Yeah.
If you change my mind through something logical,
yeah,
I'm in. Sure.
Or you live forever and you're like,
yeah.
See, I told you.
Yeah.
No, and that's like, and I have
a 180-year-old guy tells me to quit eating meat. Yeah.
No, he eats Chick-fil-A every day.
Yeah. Except for on Sundays, they're closed.
Yeah. Damn it. That's like my theory on cleaning the planet is like, because when you think about it, you're like, how do I save the world? How do you do that? And it's like, that's a big pill to try to swallow. But it's like when you're walking down the street on your daily life and you see litter, just pick it up, even if it's not yours. That's your part. And if everyone slowly starts doing that, we'll have clean streets, clean highways. Yeah. And it feels good. And I like was picking up cigarettes butts at the beginning of my whole, like, you know, step forward into doing my part. And it's like that's all we can do. You can't like put down people for not doing it. I can't be like, you just passed that cigarette butt, sir. He's like, I didn't smoke it. It's like, you can't expect people to do their individual part. You're not the boss of anyone except for yourself. And that's how I think if you have a bunch of individuals who rally up, which is like kind of how like I aim to like speak or write. And it's like, it's an individual battle, uphill battle to like live your life and be yourself sometimes. But also to like save the world, it's like an individual, you just do your part to be better, to do better, to be conscientious of your footprint is what they say, you know, your consumption or whatever and how you live. I think that's the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost got in a fight over litter one time. I was leaving school at IPR downtown and I like threw my bottle at this trash. And I threw it and I turned around because I was like, oh, shoot, is that my bus? And all of a sudden, like, I had my headphones in, and all of a sudden I feel this like tap on my shoulder. This guy was like, pick it up. And I was like, pick what up? And he's like, pick it up. He's like, I saw you fucking litter. And I was just like, what are you talking about? And he like grabbed me. He's like, pick it up. What? And he like pushed me towards the trash. And I was like, what? I was like, dude, what are you talking about? I started taking off my backpack. So I'm like, what's going on? And then I like looked down and it was like, I'd missed.
Yeah.
So I just picked it up and threw it in the trash. He goes, don't litter. And I was just like, damn, like I thought I made it. Like yeah. From when I looked away, that was going in the trash.
Yeah.
But like for him to be that angry about it. He should have just picked it up. Exactly. He could have just picked it up.
And he even
saw that mine wasn't like I wasn't just like throwing it on the street. Yeah. Like, God, kicking it. Like, yeah. I hate this.
Fuck the world.
Yeah. Oh, this bottle. I've been a litter.
Remember I did that in the Wayne and Matt's wedding? I threw something out the window and the guy behind us started honking and we were like figuring out, I was in your car or we were in a car and like, what, you got out and got it. Cause I don't know. I was probably too drunk at that point in my life, but yeah, that actually happened. And it's like, yeah, I've littered in the past and it's like, now I don't. So I'm not going to beat myself up about the past. I'm doing my part now to make sure A, that I don't ever do that. And B, that I'm making up for my stupid youth, you know?
Yeah.
My silly mistakes. Because I wasn't very aware. I wasn't caring about the world too much. I was lost for myself.
Well, yeah.
And you're not thinking about, like, the planet and
throw it out
how animals are treated. I think you get to 30 and then you're like, what's going on here? What am I?
Well, I'm excited for the next generation.
Yeah.
I feel like the generations are slowly molding together as well.
Yeah.
Like, you have our parents, and then you've got the younger millennial. And I think I'm on the cusp, but I think I'm a millennial. But they don't see eye to eye. But I feel like the generation after the next generation, the ones that are infants now, I think it's slowly going to become one. Because the generations used to gap.
Yeah.
You know, what's crazy, think about the 60s, military and hippies.
Yeah.
Two polar opposites.
Yeah.
And then it's like 70s, 80s come around. Now there's like gangster stuff. Then the music scene, hip hop, comes in. People used to listen to one type of music.
Yeah.
And they didn't associate with country, rock and roll, hip hop. And you hung out with people that listened to the same type of music.
Yeah.
Now you go in your phone and you can have Slipknot, Adele, DMX, Taylor Swift,
Meditation,
then you got binaural Johnny beats. Cash, and then you got some whatever, like crazy. You've every type of music, and it's that alone is bringing people to realize, oh, we can all be one and notice different things. Like, honestly, if the generations can learn to work together and not argue over, oh, when I was a kid, that's one of the biggest things for me. When I was your age,
In that age anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, guess what? When you were that age, you didn't have Google.
Yeah.
So fuck off.
So I'm a fucking genius already, and I don't know what to do about it.
So I can prove you wrong on everything right now. It's like, but it's true. It's like the generations need to listen to each other.
Yeah.
Because the younger generation also needs to take into mind that they can't disregard you as just an old, you were just an old whatever.
Yeah.
And like, you boomer. Like,
you boomer. I know that separation right now is ridiculous.
Yeah, that separation needs to stop.
Yeah.
It needs to be, all right, listen and work together.
Yeah. And acknowledge the fact that, like, we're all evolving. The human consciousness and intelligence in society is evolving, and the system should too.
Knowledge is power.
Love you.